adorning Christ and His gospel. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Very grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon. And this today on Abounding Grace and tomorrow, I'm going to air a devotional at a chapel I gave at Westminster Seminary, California, on the nature of the Christian ministry, and I trust and hope that this will be a blessing to you. You can go to our website at agradio.org, and you're welcome to download this. There are many resources there for you. Find out more about who we are, what we believe, and we do have a place there where you can support us if you would like. We would be very grateful. So here's the chapel I gave at Westminster Seminary, California, on 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
The following is a message from Westminster Seminary, California. For more information about this message or Westminster Seminary, visit us online at westcal.edu or call us at 760-480-8474. That's online at wscal.edu or call us at 760-480-8474.
It's my privilege this morning to introduce our morning devotion speaker, the Reverend Chris Gordon, graduated from this institution in 2004, so he's one of our distinguished alum. So it's with great pleasure to bring you back, Chris, to Escondido. Please bring us God's word.
It's really good to be with you and to lead you this morning. I want to consider with you 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, a favorite of mine to consider for the pastoral ministry. It's aimed at that this morning, since that's what many of you are training for. And this is a great passage and one that helped me immensely in my training. First six verses I'll read of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Well, this is a wonderful, wonderful passage. And in light of what you're doing, in light of your studies, when I was here, I don't think that I ever, I took it for granted. I didn't realize the treasure that I had to be here and to study and to appreciate what I was receiving. I think I was such in a hurry to get done and to become a pastor. I just was in a rush and didn't stand back from it and appreciate it like I should. The amount of information you're going to take in the next few years is overwhelming. You're going to learn so much, and then the challenge is to go out and to communicate this in a meaningful way to the Church of Jesus Christ. And this morning, what I want to do is just briefly kind of orient you to the big picture so that you don't lose sight of that, because I believe that I often lost sight of that in my studies here. I want to encourage you a few minutes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 so that you do not lose heart in your training and understanding what you're doing and why this is just so important for the ministry and understanding the gospel of Christ. The interesting thing about this passage this morning is that the Apostle Paul had struggled with this very thing, the big picture, dealing with all of the complexities and all of the problems out on the field. And that's essentially what this is. Paul was being assaulted by false apostles, by false teachers who were undermining his ministry. And there were a few different things they were saying. They were attacking his credentials. But if you study Corinthians carefully, one of the things that they were doing is that they were attacking Paul, and they were saying that he was culturally ineffective in the ministry. That, if you put it in our terms, his evangelistic techniques were all wrong. He wasn't doing it right because the results weren't as they should have been. So many were rejecting his message. It's painful. It's not something you ever think is going to happen. When you're really out in it, you've got these exciting truths, and you think all of this is going to break down and shatter hearts, and then the other thing often occurs. And so at this church, Corinth, which was really one of the worst kind of churches to pastor, this church would surely put you down, and you would be on your knees a lot. We stand back from this and we ask, well, what was Paul's understanding of ministry? And what did he think about the ministry? And how was he, how did he view the church? And how did he handle, I suppose, the big question, all of these pressures that were being thrown at him? And they were real pressures. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 provides clarity on the nature of the Christian ministry for us today. If I were to summarize in one statement what he's saying, and I think what a great application for you guys in your studies here. He's saying this: under the inspiration of the Spirit, we live in the most effective time for gospel ministry. Now that's a remarkable claim. And he's saying it in the midst of conflict. We live in the most effective time for gospel ministry. Think about what's exactly happening here. Look at verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. What ministry? Well, he's specifically thinking about the outpouring of the Spirit and what has happened since Pentecost. And that what's happening is that in this ministry, the ministry of righteousness is going out. And that we ministers are ministering the righteousness of Christ to struggling sinners in the wilderness. And back in chapter 3, he described this in a little more detail. He said, "And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think as anything being from ourselves." Now listen to this. "But our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." So God made us sufficient for this. As a minister of the new covenant, he's setting this all in contrast to Moses and the law. And what he calls here very plainly, which is something that we should really understand, it's very important. He calls it the ministry of condemnation. In that old economy under Moses, there was a certain way of speaking, and there was a certain way of addressing and speaking and commanding that did not bring life. And the apostle is saying here, it didn't have the ability to set people free. So Paul was overwhelmed, precisely because he was a minister not of the old, but of the new. And that everything that had been anticipated in the promises made to Abraham, as the gospel was preached to Abraham, as that line always went through in the covenant of grace, now as he is ministering in this time in the outpouring of the Spirit, now he is understanding that all those promises made to Abraham are yes and amen, and they are all coming to pass at this time. Especially in this way, just before Christ returns. So this is what he's talking about. It's permanent. This is what's driving him. And then he says something amazing in chapter 3, verse 18. "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So in other words, the Spirit has come, and he is transforming us into this image. He is working powerfully to make us into the image of Christ. And so Paul's going to apply this and say, then that means this ministry is about Jesus. Everything that we do, we preach Jesus, we teach Jesus. We labor to make known the glorious riches of Jesus. And that is from glory to glory to glory. You know why he's saying that? In the old covenant, that glory faded when Moses came down. And they put the veil up so that Israel did not see that. Israel was blinded to see that the law could not save. And in this glorious new covenant, he is telling us that this is from glory to glory. That glory doesn't fade. It's permanent. So what a perspective about ministry, isn't it? What a perspective about what we're doing. But then he says this. Therefore, since we have this ministry, since we've received this kind of mercy to be given to have this ministry, we don't lose heart. Now, that's a strange contrast, isn't it? It's a very strange contrast that he would say, that he would even put in this context of this glorious ministry that's powerful, that's shattering hearts, the word of God like a hammer, shattering hearts and saving. And then he puts it in contrast and he says, yes, but there is the problem of losing heart, but we're not going to lose heart in doing it. And I find that just striking that he would have to even reference that. Why would he say it? It's not here. If this is so permanent, if this is so powerful, if this is so glorious, why say that? Well, you know. You ever wonder how much attack is around the seminary, how much attack is in the church? Conflict. I had dark hair when I was here, by the way. In 8 years, this has gone gray. Conflict. I've seen the conflict. And you become so weary of the conflict. You become so weary of the fight, of even if you have to say today, heaven forbid, that the kingdom of this world, the United States, is not the kingdom of Christ. Conflict. 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 Paul is facing this from false apostles, and they're saying he's not effective. What he's doing and what he's saying is not right. He's evangelistically defective. He was culturally, and you know the big hot button word today, contextually lacking in what he's doing because so many had rejected this gospel. And so he's under all this attack. It's fierce. It's hard hitting. And he gets sarcastic in chapter 11 with what he calls these super apostles. I am not inferior to these guys. These super apostles. Even though I'm untrained in speech. Another remarkable thing. Paul had already dealt with this in 1 Corinthians when he said, when I came to you, Corinthians, I did not come using excellence of speech or of wisdom. I didn't come using all of the cultural methods to try to win the lost. I didn't do that. I purposely chose not to do that, to think that that would be the way that I would win the more, because then we know the glory doesn't go to the Lord. I love to quote Cicero at this time in De Orator, which was a common thing floating around. And Cicero wrote, one of the weapons of oratory, the stamping of the foot, should be used in the most vehement efforts at the commencement or conclusion, but it all depends on the countenance, that even that the eyes bear sovereign sway.
Well, that was a devotional that I gave at Westminster Seminary, California. And if you would like to download that, we'll finish this tomorrow, but you're welcome to go to our website at agradio.org and make use of that. Well, so grateful that you've tuned in today. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
If you appreciate the doctrines of grace as you have heard them on this radio program and live in the Abbotsford area, we invite you to worship with us at Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church on Sundays at 10 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. at 35063 Page Road in Abbotsford. We are a church that emphasizes Jesus Christ alone as our way of reconciliation with God. Visit our website at abbotsfordurc.org.